Tell me, do you know what day it is, Evie?
The things they don't teach us in America about our own history could fill so many volumes, and especially when it comes to our shared history with England. They boiled all of that history down into one little moment in time, basically, and then just kind of threw everything else away. If Americans these days know about the 5th of November, it's likely because they watched V for Vendetta.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
The 5th of November is known as Guy Fawkes Night in England, or Bonfire Night, and it began after the gunpowder plot of November 5th, 1605 was foiled when Guy Fawkes was arrested guarding explosives that the alleged plotters had placed under the House of Lords. The plotters were Catholic, and they apparently intended to assassinate Protestant King James I and his parliament. The bonfires and fireworks displays, very much like July 4th here in America, the fireworks displays on November 5th, happened across England, and it became an annual celebration of how God protected the king and his parliament, the Protestant king and his parliament, from the Catholic plotters. Actually, the following year in 1606, an observance act was passed mandating that date to be an annual public day of Thanksgiving, which remained on the statute in England until 1859. And I'm sure that you would all be really shocked to hear that there is some evidence that the gunpowder plot was actually a false flag.
A more perfect stage could not be asked for.
There's actually a book that was written in 1897 called What Was the Gunpowder Plot? The Traditional Story Tested by Original Evidence, which raises some pretty good questions and points out that not only was the government immediately suspected at the time, widely, of having contrived or somehow fomented this plot, but there was evidence that the government was fully aware that this was in progress and knew about it months in advance at the very least and allowed it to play out in a certain way in order that the government could discover the plot and stop it for religious and political gain and also to promote legislation. And one of the guys that is suspected as being behind it was the Royal Chancellor, Sir Robert Cecil, the Earl of Salisbury, who has been likened in the modern day to the Dick Cheney of his time, who would have contrived the plot under Queen Elizabeth, actually, but couldn't do it at the time because she passed away, so he brought it back under James I. And the goal was to make Catholicism so odious to the British people that they could expel all the Roman Catholics from the country and confiscate all of their estates, while also boosting the idea that God had chosen to protect Protestant King James and his parliament via the chosen religion. So it gives more power to the state. Basically, the idea is they foiled their own plot. I will say the government had a full detailed official story all sealed up and ready to deliver to the British people by November 7th. They had all the details, everything lined out, everything to happen. They had solved the whole case in like less than 48 hours, which is just amazing police work for 1605. Cecil was also part of something called the War Party, which had a goal of pushing King James into a war with the Spanish Empire, which, of course, would have made them all very wealthy. After this was over, England became very fixated on concepts like homeland security. I mean, it's just, if you look into this rabbit hole, you'll find a very, very familiar story in here.
The rest, as they say, is history.
But anyway, I mean, I don't know. If you're at all aware of the history of false flags, this whole thing sounds remarkably familiar.
Can you prove any of this?
Why do you think I'm still alive?
But what most Americans were probably never taught is that the 5th of November became Pope's Day or Pope's Night here in the American colonies. So this was widely celebrated here for a long time. In fact, There's some evidence that it was first celebrated in American colonies in Plymouth back in 1623, and it was going pretty strong in the 25 years leading up to the American Revolution, all up and down the coast, in New York City, as far south as Charleston, but most especially and famously in Boston. In Boston, Pope's Night was this annual ritual of reversal where the plebs, the lower classes, ruled the city for a day. Boys and girls of all ages, they would go door to door, kind of like mummers, and they would beg for money and treats, sort of like Halloween. But the big show came in the evening when two companies, the North End Company and the South End Company, very similar sounding to the way crews who design and parade Mardi Gras floats do. The North End Company and the South End Company would parade giant effigies of the Pope, the Devil, and the Pretender, which is the pretender to the throne, James Stuart, whose son Charles led the failed 1745 Jacobite uprising in England in a bid to regain the throne for his father. So that failed, but These companies for Pope's Night in Boston would make those effigies and they would put them on wagons and they would parade them through town every year on the 5th of November. People would chant "No Popery" and they would battle it out to see who could destroy the other company's effigies. And then they would take all that stuff and they would go to the green, the Boston Common, and they would burn it. Like whoever lost got their stuff burned in a giant bonfire. But the reason this is important to know about is because the organized resistance to the Stamp Act, which is the event that pretty much precipitated and ultimately accelerated the lead up to the American Revolution, the organized resistance to the Stamp Act drew off of these two companies in Boston. Ebenezer McIntosh was a shoemaker. He was the captain of the South End Company, and he would later become nicknamed the Captain of the Liberty Tree in these protests, which is another symbol that we're not really taught about in school at all, that, you know, some historians such as Alfred Young, who wrote about it, said that it was purposefully forgotten by the elites who kind of wanted to put the genie back in the bottle of radical revolution, because without the Liberty Tree, there would have been no American Revolution. That's just straight up. So there's a reason it's been purposefully forgotten and not just forgotten to history. This one was purposefully forgotten. But you had the merchant class together with the middle class, the popular leaders of the middle class together with the lower classes. Everybody was uniting together around these ideas of fighting off these taxes, no taxation without representation, and the ideas of liberty. It united everyone across the board. Women were getting political for the first time. Teenagers were getting political. Slaves were getting political. Everybody was getting political at this time. So the Pope's Day kind of flipped over and became patriotic in the fight against King George and the British monarchy system. You had the North and South companies, the Pope's Day companies, coming together and uniting and calling a truce so they could join forces to be part of this organized set of actions that took place to defeat the Stamp Act, followed by a massive community celebration of the Act's repeal, which everybody participated in and celebrated. It was a huge, huge, big deal. Everyone was out in the streets celebrating that together. And the shouts of "No Popery" changed over to shouts of "Liberty and Property." And John Hancock, who was the wealthiest person in Boston at the time, he bought the officers of the company's uniforms and kind of unofficially drafted them as leaders in this resistance, in the massive public protests that were happening in the lead up to the American Revolution. So these unofficial officers from these Pope's Day companies became like white hats in keeping the violence to a minimum in these protests and keeping things orderly. So instead of today, for example, where you have agent provocateurs who will infiltrate a peaceful protest and turn it violent so it can make it look bad and undermine the entire purpose of the protest, these guys, these Pope's Day guys who were drafted by Hancock, they would go through the crowd with their own motto, which was literally, quote, "No violence or you will hurt the cause." And without those guys, I mean, things probably would have been a lot more violent. There were a few tarrings and featherings. It wasn't as common as they make it seem these days when they talk about it, but things could have been so much worse. It wasn't just crazy mob riots. It was organized protests with a purpose that were very peaceful by comparison to a lot of revolutions that have occurred in human history. So unfortunately, those companies' truce broke in 1773, and it all kind of fell apart, and the Boston leaders banned Pope's Day in 1774, and then it got kind of double banned because General Washington banned it among his soldiers in 1775 because America was trying to solicit help from French Canada, and he was like, hey, it doesn't really make sense to insult the religion of an entire country we're trying to get to help us in our revolution against Britain, so maybe we should probably stop doing that. But this moment in history where they shifted a community ritual like Pope's Day and turned it patriotic to use it in uniting the people to fight the Stamp Act, across all sectors of society, uniting these people to come up against this, was a huge shift in the consciousness of the colonies. It's just kind of interesting how forgotten this part of the history is, because people know, I mean, some people know about the Stamp Act and how it precipitated the American Revolution, but a lot of people don't realize that the Stamp Act was built on the back of Pope's Day, which is remember, remember the 5th of November. And so in a way, without Pope's Day, Pope's Night, without the organized protesting of the Stamp Act that was built off of the community rituals of Pope's Night, it wouldn't have happened that way. It's just kind of strange how much of our history in this country has been forgotten, and some of it very purposefully. They don't want the people to have the formulas for how to change things. It's really clear. Once you do the research, it's pretty clear. And I guess I just wanted to tell you guys about that because it's really strange this year how it just so happened that Britain had their elections on the 4th of July and our election happens to fall on the 5th of November. Strange how that works out for what has got to be the craziest election I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.